The hardest people in the world to reach are not those who have never heard the gospel. And they are not those who are living in flagrant open rebellion against God either. The hardest people in the world to reach are those who have tasted the truth and then have turned away and become defiant.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, why do you think it is that the hardest people to reach are those who have had just a little taste of the gospel?
Oh, well, for example, people who've grown up with the Christian faith and they're quite sure that they know what it is and they've nothing more therefore to receive, and then they decide, this is not for me. Usually that person becomes very, very resistant indeed, even defiant. I mean, they may not be openly angry, but they're determined that they're never going to go back to something that they've left. And I had the opportunity of speaking about this at Taylor University. And I'll tell you, it was an unforgettable experience in speaking about the dangers of becoming defiant towards God, being brought up with the faith and then deciding this is not for me and going off and rejecting it.
Yeah.
There were moments where you could have heard a pin drop in the chapel. And we were looking at one of the most serious and sobering passages in all of the scriptures, Hebrews chapter 6, that speaks to us about crucifying again the Son of God. That's what a person does when they have had some knowledge of the truth and then become defiant towards the truth that at one time they may even have professed. So we're going to look at something really important. We're in our series, Faith That Lasts. And to anyone who's being defiant towards God, I want to say from the heart today, stop doing that. It can't take you any place good. There is an opportunity for you to come back and to find Christ, and you need to find it today.
Well, as you just heard, we are in Hebrews chapter 6. So if you're able, grab a Bible, join us there as we begin the message, Defiant. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, the theme of these four sessions that I'm privileged to have with you this week is faith that lasts. And I'm introducing you to four characters who are really addressed in these verses from Hebrews. This morning we met Drifting, the first of the four characters. Thinks of himself as a good person, but lacks clear conviction, is searching for more, but still has not found it. And Drifting, we saw, needs to grasp why he needs Jesus, needs to grasp the most basic principle of the Word of God, needs to get the road that leads to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is really, really important. Because I'm sure you don't need me to say, you will have seen this, that too often the gospel has been replaced in our time with a message that basically says either that Jesus offers you a better life or that Jesus invites you to sign up for his cause. And here's the problem, that if you come to some form of profession of faith on that basis, then there will come a time when drift sets in and you will find yourself saying, you know what, I can have a good life without Jesus. And I can sign up for a better cause than Jesus. And the drift will set in. A faith that lasts begins with grasping deeply why we need Jesus. Now, tonight, I want to introduce you to a second friend of mine who I'm going to call Defiant. And I expect that you know someone like her. Maybe you will see something of yourself in her. Let me describe Defiant to you. Defiant grew up in the church. Over the years, she often went to camps, she played in concerts, she served on teams, she engaged in Bible studies. Her parents were relentless in trying to encourage her to get involved. And she felt the pressure to conform. And she really did try and fit in. But somehow she always felt that she was on the outside and that she was looking in. Defiant can remember times when she might have come to faith. That time at the camp when she felt that God was speaking to her. And she wanted to respond, but then she held back. There was that trip when she was serving the poor, and she felt like, oh, this is what I'm meant to be doing. but then it passed. And then there was the time when her friend was diagnosed with cancer. Everybody prayed, and the friend was wonderfully healed. On each of these occasions, Defiant came very, very close to faith. But she held back because she knew deep in her heart that in many ways, following Jesus Christ would be costly for her. And over time, she realized that somewhere down the line, she was going to have to make a clear-cut choice between either going with Jesus or walking away from him altogether. Being close to faith without being committed to Christ was ultimately unsustainable. She knew that sooner or later she'd have to give herself completely to Christ, or else she would walk away from Christ altogether. And today she avoids talking about faith. If the subject comes up, she has a ready defense. From time to time, people from the church she grew up in try and reach out to her, try and draw her back, but she really has no interest at all. And that's why I'm calling her Defiant. So here's a summary of Defiant. She had some experience of Christianity, but found it costly. She has decided to leave it behind. She has no interest in following Jesus Christ. Now, let me say to you candidly, and I've observed this over many years as a pastor, that the hardest people in the world to reach are not those who have never heard the gospel. And they are not those who are living in flagrant open rebellion against God either. The hardest people in the world to reach are those who have tasted the truth and then have turned away and become defiant. And Hebrews, in the verses that were read, speaks particularly about those who have fallen away from faith in Jesus. That is, people who have walked away from a faith that they may once have professed. Now, as we saw this morning, Jesus said, "My sheep will never perish." So how is it possible for people who once made a profession of faith to fall away? If they abandoned the faith, were they ever Christ's sheep? Now, you will know that some Christians believe that a person who truly belongs to Jesus Christ can lose their salvation. And these words in Hebrews in chapter 6 are often pointed to, the words about falling away are often pointed to in support of that belief. But here's the problem as I see it. The words of Hebrews about falling away need to be put alongside the words of Jesus when he says, "My sheep never perish." All scripture is breathed out by God, and God never contradicts himself. So all scripture must be read in the light of scripture and cannot be understood in such a way as to create open contradiction. So Jesus said, "My sheep will never perish." Hebrews 6 then cannot possibly mean that some of them will. Scripture tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the end of Romans chapter 8. So Hebrews 6 cannot mean that there will be some things that will separate us from the love of Christ. Scripture says that when God begins a good work in us, he does bring it to completion. That's Philippians in chapter 1. So Hebrews 6 cannot therefore mean that in some cases God will start a work and then abandon it and leave off what he has begun. So we must understand Hebrews chapter 6. As those who believe that the whole Bible is the Word of God, we must understand the warnings of Hebrews 6 in a way that is consistent with the promise of Jesus when he says, "My sheep never perish," because both the promise of Jesus and the warning of Hebrews are equally the word of God. Now, putting these together then, we can say two things. The first is that we can say with confidence that a person who was truly one of Christ's sheep and turned away will come back. If she is one of Christ's sheep, if he is one of Christ's sheep, he will come back. Must. May be gone for a long time. May wander very, very far away. But if they are among Christ's sheep, they will come back. They must come back. It is inevitable because Jesus Christ never loses one of his own. Take Peter as an example. I mean, he denied that he ever knew Jesus, and he did it with cursing. And if you had stood there on that night when this explosion came out of him, you would have thought, I would have thought, oh, he's gone. I mean, there's no coming back from this. But Peter repented, and he was wonderfully, wonderfully restored, showing that he was indeed truly one of Christ's sheep. The evidence of it was that he came back. On the other hand, surely putting these two truths together, we can conclude this, that a person who turns away from Jesus Christ and never comes back to the end of their life, never comes back, thereby gives demonstration that they never were among Christ's sheep. And of course, we have an example of this in Judas Iscariot, who walked away from Jesus and never returned. Now, what makes this confusing and difficult for all of us is, of course, that Peter and Judas look pretty much the same. Both professed faith. Both followed Jesus. Both served in ministry. How could one have belonged to Christ's flock and the other not? Well, Hebrews chapter 6 really helps us here by making it clear, and this is the fundamental point to grasp about Hebrews 6 tonight, that it is possible to have spiritual experience that is not saving experience.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith in a message called Defiant, and we've been looking at how it's possible to have a spiritual experience that is not a saving experience. Well, if you joined us late or if you can't stay with us through the end of this program, you can listen to every program online. Just come to openthebible.org. You can stream the broadcast or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, I love reading, but admittedly, I don't have a lot of time to read. So when I'm in the car, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and maybe that's you. You resonate and identify with that. If that's the case, we're excited about a brand new podcast we want you to check out. It's called Hike Through the Bible.
Yeah, and the Hike Through the Bible podcast will take you on a journey through the entire Bible story, giving you the option of listening or watching rather than reading. And in each episode, I'll read a chapter of my book, Hike Through the Bible, and then I'll discuss it with some friends. I hope you'll join me in hiking through the Bible. You'll grow in your faith. You'll deepen your grasp of Scripture, and you'll come to love Jesus more. It's not too late to get started. You can subscribe to the Hike Through the Bible podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find more information at openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike.
Well, thank you, Colin. I do hope that you'll take that Hike Through the Bible with Pastor Colin. Certainly look forward to doing that together. Again, if you want more information, openthebible.org/hike. Let's get back to the message.
Now, notice what is said in verses 4 to 6, in which various spiritual experiences that do not save are described. It is impossible, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, have shared in the Holy Spirit, have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it's impossible to restore them again to repentance. Now, Hebrews here lists five kinds of spiritual experience that a person can have without being saved. They have been enlightened. That's number one. In other words, it is possible to have the light of truth, to be brought up in a faithful biblical church, to come to a faithful biblical place like Taylor University, and to know the truth, and for you to understand it. And even as in the case of Judas, to teach it, because he did that, and yet not to be saved. Notice, secondly, they have tasted the heavenly gift. What's the heavenly gift? The heavenly gift clearly is Jesus himself. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Jesus is the heavenly gift. And what we're being told here is that it is possible for someone who is not one of Christ's sheep to have at least some taste of the love of God. Remember that tasting is not the same as eating. Before Jesus was nailed to the cross, Matthew tells us that they offered to him wine to drink mixed with gall, and when he tasted it, he would not drink it. The wine mixed with gall actually had mild anesthetic properties. It was the one little piece of compassion that was offered to someone when they were nailed to a cross. But of course, Jesus had to be fully conscious throughout all of his suffering. And when he tastes it and realizes what it is, he refuses and he will not take it. Now, in the same way, it is possible to taste the heavenly gift, to have some knowledge of Jesus, and yet not to have any appetite for more. Third, they have shared in the Holy Spirit. Now, when I have the opportunity as a pastor of speaking to someone who has turned away from faith, a question that I sometimes ask is this: what was the nearest you ever came to being a Christian? And I often get an answer like this: well, you know, I remember one night at camp, and I did feel that God was speaking to me then, but I wanted to respond, but I didn't. And when I hear a story like this, there's absolutely no question in my mind that the Holy Spirit touched this person's life. They shared in the Holy Spirit. Though, of course, sharing in the Holy Spirit is not the same as being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. What happened was that this person had a spiritual experience, but it was not a saving experience. And it is possible to see and experience the Spirit of God at work without being truly saved. And then number four, they have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. Notice again the word tasted, and remember that tasting is not the same as eating. It is possible to be well taught in the Word of God over many, many years, to have that as a spiritual experience, but for it not to be a saving experience, and still not to be one of Christ's sheep. And then fifthly and finally, they have tasted the powers of the age to come. In other words, it is possible for a person to experience real answers to prayer, even to experience a miracle, to be used in a remarkable way by God, even to bring someone else to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and still not to be saved yourself. Now, it would be easy when you go through this list to simply assume that someone who has, let's put them together, been enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, shared in the Holy Spirit, tasted in the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, that such a person must belong to Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 6 is quite clearly telling us that that would be a false assumption. Now, at this point, you might very reasonably be asking and wondering, well, are there any examples, real examples in the Bible of people who experienced these five things and were not Christ's sheep? And the answer to that is yes, plenty of examples. I don't want to keep you here all night on this, so let me just give you three. The first would be the people of Bethsaida. Listen to what Jesus says in regards to them. Then Matthew says, Matthew 11:20, he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Now, notice that we're being told quite clearly here in the Gospels that Bethsaida was the place, one of the places where most of Jesus' miracles were done. The light of Christ came to this town. The people of Bethsaida, they tasted the miraculous powers of the age to come. They heard the word of God from the lips of Jesus himself. You can't get better than that. They saw the Holy Spirit working in power. The people of Bethsaida enjoyed remarkable spiritual experiences, but in the end, they rejected Jesus and they did not repent. Second example, John chapter 6 speaks about disciples who turned back. After this, many of his, that's Jesus' disciples, turned back and no longer walked with him. That's John 6 and verse 66. Now, the story here begins at the beginning of John 6, where Jesus feeds 5,000 people with the loaves and the fish that are given to him by a little boy. And the people were fed, miraculously fed on that day. They heard the word of God from the lips of the Son of God, and they literally tasted a miracle. Tasted a miracle. So it's not surprising that on the next day, when they find that Jesus isn't in that place, they come to the other side of the lake. They follow him all the way around there because they want something more. And Jesus teaches them the significance of the multiplying of the loaves and the fish. I am the bread of life, he says. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Whoever feeds upon me will live because of me. He teaches them throughout John and chapter 6. But this teaching of Jesus made them uncomfortable. And John chapter 6 and verse 60 says, when many of his disciples, many of them heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Don't like what Jesus is saying here. Who can listen to it? And eventually, John 6, 66, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Now, here again are people who have heard the word of God from the Son of God. They have experienced a miracle. And they have followed Jesus around the lake. They've seen enough of Jesus to want to follow him up to a certain point. But when they are faced with the full implications of his sovereign claim upon their lives, what do? They're off. They turn back. And the third example I'll give to you this evening, of course, is the one that is best known, and that is the example of Judas Iscariot. Everything that is said in Hebrews in chapter 6 was true of Judas Iscariot. But despite all of this spiritual experience that was not saving experience, Judas Iscariot walks away. Now, I'm saying to you from this passage of Scripture and from these very clear examples that it is therefore possible to have spiritual experience that is not saving experience. It is possible to enjoy spiritual privilege, opportunity, without actually becoming one of Christ's sheep. And that puts a person in the most dangerous spiritual position of all.
What a sobering place to wrap up today's program, thinking about that most dangerous position to be in, the most dangerous of all. Well, we're going to continue to look at that as we dive into a real difficult part of Hebrews chapter 6 on our next program. I hope you make it a point to tune in for that. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always listen online. Just come to openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. It's a great way to stay connected to Pastor Colin's teaching and listen on the go whenever it fits your schedule. So again, listen through the app or at our website, openthebible.org. Well, Colin, it's Friday and the weekend's coming.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you to get to church on Sunday. Find a church where the Bible is opened and where Jesus is the center of attention. And if you live in the Chicago area and you don't have a church home, I'd love for you to join us at The Orchard. There are 6 locations in the northwest suburbs. For more information, go to theorchard.church. That's theorchard.church.
Well, thank you, Colin, and thanks for listening. I'm Steve Hiller, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Doctrine. Watch Your Doctrine is a six-session course that is geared for leaders but accessible for every believer. The six sessions will introduce you to six central truths of the Christian faith: how we know God, how God speaks to us, how sin affects us, how God's Spirit brings new life, how we're made right with God, and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own, or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, or to begin this free online course, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.